You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I want you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We have been doing verses of chapter 20, verse 20, for this year of 2020. Now, we're not going to make it all the way to the end of the year with that. I couldn't come up with that many happening, but to be able to get these last ones that we've had has been great. We got three or four or five more that are coming up. But to look at Exodus 20, verse 20, if you've got a Bible, I want you to turn there. All of our campuses, Siena, Cypress, downtown as well. We want to all get there. And if you don't have a Bible, we've got a Bible right in front of you at the Loop campus that you can just pull that one out of the pew rack and you can take that home with you. That'd be our gift to you. But Exodus 20, verse 19 and 20 is what we're going to look at. We've been going through these 2020s, these verses of chapter 20, verse 20, kicking off the brand new decade of the 20s, kicking off the brand new year of 2020, being able to look at this. We've had resolutions, talking about how we need to rest in the Lord. We've had resolutions, talking about how we need to resolve some things with the Lord. And we're going to look today at a verse of Scripture that talks about fear. So I'm going to ask you this question as we're just jumping in. We'll jump in quick. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? It's interesting when we ask that question because some of us, we kind of go like, I don't know, nothing and everything at the same time. But we all know that feeling, whether you can list it right now at this moment, we all know that feeling, that surge of fear. We all know that feeling when we get afraid, physically afraid, socially afraid, emotionally afraid, financially afraid, in our leadership afraid, in our parenting afraid, whatever it is, we know that feeling of fear. And it comes in our lives, and it's a part of the human experience, and we're going to talk about it and really get down to some good things about it. But what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? We're going to end this message. At the very bottom, it says practical application of your listening guide. I hope you'll take some notes. And I want you to just put in whatever your fear is in that prayer, and we're going to make that our prayer for the rest of the week. I'm afraid of blank, and you'll write it in, and then we'll go for it, and you'll pray that all week long, just giving that to the Lord. And we'll do that at the end of our time together. So Moses is going to talk to the people here, and he's going to say, do not be afraid. Now, why is this section important in the Scriptures? You don't realize this. You might not realize it, but Exodus chapter 20 is a very famous chapter of Scripture. In the Bible, it's a very well-known chapter of Scripture. You actually know the majority of this Scripture, whether you realize it or not. It's the chapter of Scripture in which we get the Ten Commandments. So in the Ten Commandments, we end up with these Scriptures are found right here in Exodus chapter 20. Now, the Ten Commandments, to just give you a little review, are, number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Two, you shall make no idols. Three, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Four, the Sabbath day is holy. Honor your father and mother. Just want to say one more time as a father. Number five is honor your father and mother. If you didn't hear, number five is honor your father and mother to be able to do that, which I'm teasing. But number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal is eight. Number nine is don't bear false witness against your neighbor. And number 10 is don't covet. Now, if you were to take those 10 things and you were to take them to an atheist and don't tell them that it's a chapter 20 of Exodus and that it's the 10 commandments, you could walk up and say, what do you think about lying? Is that good or bad for society? Oh, it's bad. What do you think about stealing? Is that good or bad for society? That's bad. What do you think about marriage? Should men be committing adultery against their wives? No. Women against their husbands? No. What do you think about stealing, adultery, murder, honoring your parents? What do you think about taking a day off? And everybody would come around and go, yeah, 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 yeah. And then when you say, well, that's out of the Bible, well, no, 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 no. But we see the principles lived out in human nature that we want those things, we need those things. We understand that those things are right. And so here they are, they've heard the Ten Commandments. There's a storm going on Mount Sinai, that's verse 18. Lightning, thunder, all these things. And then in verse 19, the people are a little bit afraid. How are we going to keep these Ten Commandments? And how are we going to walk these things out? Look at verse 19 and look at verse 20. Here's what it says, chapter 20. For some reason, I'm in chapter 35. Okay, now we're in chapter 20. Verse 19, you speak to us and we will listen, they said to Moses, but don't let God speak to us or we'll die. Verse 20, Moses responded to the people, do not be afraid, for God has come to test you, so that you will fear him and will not sin. So you will fear him and will not sin. So they've got this background of the Ten Commandments. They're seeing a storm around Mount Sinai. They're afraid. They're like, oh, we don't want to face God. We'll talk to you, Moses, but we don't want to talk to God because you go up, you do your thing, and then tell us what he says because we're afraid of him and we're not sure what to do. Now, why are they afraid of him? Because they are seeing the storm. They're seeing these laws that are coming out. But here's the good news, is that God is a loving God, even in the Old Testament. And we see it lived out even more so in the New Testament when he sends Jesus Christ. There was about 613 Jewish laws, and they all got summed up in the Ten Commandments. Jesus came to planet Earth. Let me connect your Bible, connect the dots for you for just a second. Jesus comes to planet Earth, and he keeps every single law. He's without sin. He's not come to abolish the law, it says. He's come to fulfill the law. So watch what happens. You and I don't have to fear going to God because Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. He was perfect. He did everything right. He kept every law. You and I are not perfect. We have not done anything right. Everything right. Hopefully we've done something right, but everything right. But we place our faith and trust in Jesus, and now I can go up the mountain of God because why? Because I've gone up the hill of Calvary. If I can go to the cross of Jesus and Jesus lives in my heart through the Holy Spirit of God and has washed me clean, then I can go up the mountain of God, so to speak, here, and I don't have to fear God. Now, we'll talk about the fear of God in a different way in a little bit, but I could say, God, I want to come to you. I want you and I to have a relationship through Christ because I have not done everything right. Let me tell you what, we've all broken these commandments. We put idols before God of money, of fame, of fortune, of things we want to do. We've taken the Lord's name in vain. We've gone weeks without a Sabbath and keeping it holy. We have backtalked to our mom and our dad. We've murdered. We hadn't killed anybody, but it says if you've got vengeance in your heart, it's just like murder. We've committed adultery. If we have lust in our heart, we've committed adultery. We've stolen things before. We've lied. We've coveted. We've broken the Ten Commandments, but Jesus Christ has it, and now I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and now he's the one. So here's what it does. It begs this question. It begs this statement. How do we respond to fear? We've got to respond to the fear. How do we respond to fear? So write down in your notes, respond to fear. Let me give you three or four things on how we engage this thing of fear. The first thing is we've got to respond to fear. Our response to fear has got to be through the power of Jesus Christ. So as I was saying, now I respond to the fear of God in reverence and awe, but in a relationship that's happening. So I'm not saying as these Israelites, hey, Moses, you go talk to him. I don't want to deal with God. I'm saying, no, through my relationship with Christ, I want to deal with God. I want to be connected with God. I want to hear his voice. I want him to hear my voice. How do we respond to fear? Well, hopefully we respond in this way, moving forward towards God, not moving away. See, fear can happen in our lives. We get afraid of things in our lives, and we can begin to move away from God when we should be moving towards God. Let me say something. Fear can be a really, really good thing. You can be in a dangerous situation and feel fear, and it's actually protecting you to get out of the dangerous situation. Fear can be a positive thing because it can even be something that you shouldn't be afraid of, but you can use it to move you towards God and to let the Lord, as we'll see in the next point in a minute, to invite God into our fear. I saw a movie recently. I was on a plane, and you know, if you're on a flight long enough where you can pick out a movie, so I picked out a movie, and it was called Yesterday was the movie. It's about this guy that got hit on a bike by a bus at the same moment that all the power went out in the world. That's a tough day, okay? That's a bad day of what's happening. Now, it's not a Christian movie. It's not a perfect movie. I don't want you to watch it with your children and go, oh my goodness, Pastor Greg, what are you doing? I mean, I think it's PG or whatever, but I mean, it's not bad. Don't worry about that. But it's not everything's perfect. So I got to have these disclaimers that I say when, you know, pastors say these things. But the movie, in this movie, the whole world forgets about these four people, the Beatles right here. Remember when these haircuts were controversy? I mean, wouldn't that be great? I mean, let's let them do the halftime show, okay, instead of some other folks. Yes, I meant it like that. Okay. So here we have the Beatles. So this guy, he's the only guy. There's a couple others at the end of the movie. Spoiler alert. But if you hadn't seen it by now and it's on a plane, it's not a late breaking movie, okay? So He is the only one and a couple other people that knows about the Beatles. And so he begins to sing Beatles songs. And everybody starts going, wow, what a song. He becomes the best songwriter in the entire world. He becomes amazingly famous. He becomes millionaire upon millionaire upon millionaire. And then he gets afraid somebody's going to find out he didn't write these songs. In the end of the movie, what he does is he simply does this. He responds to the fear and he does the right thing by saying, these aren't my songs. I didn't write these. And when we have fear in our hearts, we've got to respond to the fear. And when there's fear, we've got to respond to God and invite God even into our sin for forgiveness. Invite God into our relationships that are struggling. Invite God into things that are making us nervous, to invite him in to say, Lord, we need you. We want to press into you with our fear instead of pulling back from you in our fear. And here's what happens. Fear always gives you a choice, doesn't it, between faith and fear. You get a little nervous about something, and you can lie and get out of it. Well, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond to that fear? Are you going to respond with a lie? You're going to respond with telling the truth or telling a lie? What's it going to be? Students, what are you going to do when you're fearful, when you know that that quiz is coming up and you hadn't studied? Well, on the fear, is it going to take you to cheating, or is the fear going to take you on to being a person of integrity? Cram, cram, cram. Everybody in the room is crammed for a test. I promise you that, every adult in the room. But there's a difference in cramming and cheating. And so fear, though, can throw you either way, can it? We've got to respond to the fear in the right way and press forward into God, not to fear man, not to fear the circumstances, but ultimately to fear the Lord. Number two I want to tell you about fear is this. Remember God in the fear. Remember God in the fear. Moses said in verse 20, he said, do not be afraid, for God has come to test you. Remember God in the fear. He is at work. Invite him into the fear and into the circumstance. When you get afraid, invite him into the fear. Lord, I want you here, because I know if you're not here, I'm going to end up sinning through this thing. I want you in here, and I want you to help calm my heart in this. I want to invite you into this. Do not be afraid, for the Lord, it says in this passage of Scripture, for God has come to test you. What does that mean? It means that he can use our fears as a test. I like what Jack Easterby of the Houston Texans says. He says this, adversity is a university. Adversity is a university. So we want to use our adversity not to respond with fear and sin. We want to use our adversity as a university to be able to learn from that and to be able to hear God in that. So what are we afraid of? What are you really afraid of? Well, let me give you a couple things. Now, we all know we're all afraid of snakes and spiders, okay? That's just a given. We'll just take that one right there. And being afraid of snakes is actually biblical. That's a great thing, okay? You can look back in Genesis and see that the devil was a snake, okay? So that's a problem that we have. So it just continues the fear on and on to be able to go. So we know that snakes and spiders we're fearful of. If you do a quick little search too, and this is, I really like this one. I'm glad that people are afraid of this, is public speaking. That gives me such job security. I love it. Stay afraid of it, okay? Stay afraid of it. I like the job security of that. But even I get afraid sometimes as well. Not typically with us because we're family, but if I'm in a different place and I'm about to speak at something, I literally look at the platform and say, Lord, you're going to meet me right there. You're going to meet me right there. For years, I would always want to stand on the platform and be there before anybody else was in the room and just look around and kind of get my bearings and say, God, you're going to meet me right here. I just want to pray right here. So when I'm out there and I'm getting nervous, I want to know that you're right here. Here's the deal. Remember God. Remember God in your fear. Invite him into the fear in the circumstances. So we're afraid of snakes. We're afraid of spiders. We're afraid of public speaking, all those things. Those are avoidable, though. You can actually avoid those. The real fears are the things we can't afford, or can't avoid, I should say, that we can't avoid. We're afraid the doctor's going to say cancer. We're afraid that the relationship in our family or our marriage or in our parenting, that the strain of the relationship is going to get worse. We're afraid of making bad decisions because we know we have a tendency towards that. We're afraid for our loved ones that are rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior. We're afraid of going crazy, losing our minds as we get older. We're afraid of intimacy with others. We're afraid of death. We're afraid of the coronavirus. We're afraid of all sorts of things that are happening. David Jeremiah, in his book entitled so perfectly for this message, What Are You Afraid Of? I thought it was interesting the chapters that he chose to put in his book. Here's what he put. The fear of failure, he calls it defeat, the fear of failure. Depression, the fear of mental breakdown. Disconnection, the fear of being alone. Disease, the fear of serious illness. Death, the fear of dying. Or deity, the fear of God. That's the one we should be afraid of. We're afraid of a lot of things, but we've got to remember God wants to be a part of those things we're afraid of so that we don't move backwards in our faith. We actually move forward in our faith. So now we're going into the places we fear. God, I need you in this moment. Have you ever had a moment? You know, the Bible tells us today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But let me tell you what, all of us had a moment that we're like, on a week, we're like, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today as bad as this week's gone. And it's not rejoicing in the Lord always. It's, Lord, I'm afraid of the other shoe dropping. What's going to happen at work? What's the employer, the employee, what's the school, what's the this, what's the that, whatever it is, what's going to take place? And I want to say, remember God. Remember God. Do not be afraid, Moses says, for the Lord has come to test you. How will you respond? What will be the response? Will your adversity be a university to be able to learn from what God is doing in your life? Invite him to work in the fear and in the circumstance. I mentioned the coronavirus. It's happening so much in Asia, and we're hearing about it in America as well. I've got a friend that's a pastor in Asia, and he and I, just in the last 24 hours, what I'm sharing with you was last night me emailing him and then him emailing me before I came to church today. They're ahead of us where he's pastoring in Asia. And we've been going back and forth, and he emailed me yesterday and said, hey, can you help me a little bit? You guys, your church did such a great job during Harvey and during that crisis. What are some tips you can give me in leading a church during a time of crisis? And so I just gave him as many things as I could think of. And Harvey, I mean, obviously it's a tremendously different crisis. But to be able to help in those ways and some of the things that we did here at the church with Facebook Live, of trying to connect with people and keep that going, with doing stuff on the web, of doing videos and different things like that and keeping people connected. Why did he want these things? Because here's what's happening for his church in Asia. In their church, just a few hours ago, they're ahead of us in time, a few hours back, they no longer pass the offering plate because they're scared about people touching the offering plate in a numerous way. They don't pass the Lord's Supper. Everybody's wearing masks into church, and everyone has to have their temperature checked before they walk into church. And fear is really there. Now just ask us, what would we do? Would we still be a part of worshiping with the saints? It's a hard question, isn't it? What are we afraid of? So they came, and not putting their people in any unsafe manner. We talked via email, talked about, you know, you may have to go to broadcast next week and do it on the internet. Who knows where this whole thing's going? They handed out where he was. They gave to every person that was a citizen of that country. They all got masks. The government gave out, but they didn't have enough to give to people who weren't citizens. And so our American friend that's doing mission work over there did not get a mask. Until a Catholic priest in his city said, I want to send you some masks that we had extra. And then the Catholics and the Protestants be able to come together in that way and to be able to be blessed by that, and for him to be able to have a mass for him and his family. And so an amazing, amazing thing, and people drawing together. He's telling me stories about the church drawing together. And here's the bad news. You know when people get together? Here's unfortunate. We always talk about, let's all get together. Let's all have a kumbaya moment. Here's when people get together. People get together in the midst of tragedy or when they're without money. That's the two times. When somebody's without money, oh, let's all get together, huh? Right? And in the midst of tragedy or some type of disaster, we all get together. But if everything's good, see ya. Everybody's bonding together in this thing. And he was telling me stories about this and what's happening. And then did you know that one of the doctors that's been on the leading front of this coronavirus, I got this email literally a few hours ago. One of the doctors my friend is telling about, he doesn't know him, but the doctor is actually a Christian. It's a Christian doctor in China. And this doctor said, I'm not going to leave my station. I'm not going to leave my spot. I'm going to continue to give care. Talking about fear, dressed in one of those suits, I'm going to stay in there and I'm going to do that. Here's what the doctor wrote. I could read you 2 pages worth of what he wrote, but I'm just going to read you the part that I've just highlighted, just 2 little sections here. He said this, I don't want to be a hero. I still have my parents and my children, my pregnant wife who's about to give birth, and many patients here in the hospital. Though my integrity cannot be exchanged, despite my loss and confusion, I will proceed anyway. Do you hear him bringing God into his fear? And then he finished by saying this, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And my friend, a couple of days ago, he died with his wife, 8 months pregnant and also infected by the virus. And my Asian pastor friend, you're pastoring in Asia, saying, pray for us. Because God's using this in good ways as well. Not that we want this, that's not what I'm saying. But he's using it as believers stand in their fear and declare there's something greater, there's something higher. So Lord, we pray for them right now in Asia. We pray for the stopping of that virus. We pray for all of those things, Lord. And we ask God that believers, the church would grow and unite, Father. We can't even imagine. But we pray for them. We pray for your gospel, your truth of Jesus to go forward, Lord. We know many of those countries are closed, difficult countries for the Bible and the Word of God and Jesus' name to be in. But Father, you do your work, and we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite God into your fear, because there's bigger fears than snakes and spiders. There's fears of our heart. There's fears of our health. And saying, God, we want you to be a part of it. And here's what's great. If we will be believers in Jesus that aren't fearful, we can make a difference and let God do something great through us. We can have God do something great through us. As we've been talking about the world mission offering, that we're going to give to that. That's helping with missionaries and churches and folks in Asia and all over the world, that we've got a part of that. It's amazing that we could be emailing back and forth, and he could be asking us to pray as a church, and I could be leading y'all to pray just then as a church for what's going on over there. So this world mission offering is incredible. It's amazing. I just want to lead super clear, okay, just really clearly for us on this. In a couple years ago, in 2017, we had about 700 people that were involved in this. 700, 2017. We changed it and said, we're going to do it on one day. It's February 23rd. We're going to do it on one day. And we went from that in 2019. Now we had 2,600 people involved in it. So here's what I want you to hear. I want to tell you 3 things. I want to lead you really clearly on 3 things for you to pray about. Number one, 100% participation by all of us. All of us being a part of it. If you give a dollar, great, that's awesome. If we all give a dollar, we won't get much done, but we'll have 100% participation. But to be able to say, let's all jump in, let's all go for it, this isn't for somebody else, this is for every believer in Christ to be able to be a part of giving to around the world. Number two, parents, use this as a parenting tool. Let your kids decide what they're going to give out of their money, okay? Here's what I found. Our kids will spend our money all day long, but they get real stingy when it comes to spending their money, right? So they got to learn how to spend their money. They got to learn how to give their money. And what's a beautiful blessing to the Lord is $10 in pennies given to world missions. That's awesome. That's great. And so I want you parents to be using this as a teachable moment. What do you think, son or daughter? What do you want to give? What's some chores you can be a part of? How's some money you've got saved up? What did grandma give you on your birthday? What happened at Christmas? What would you like to do in giving to missionaries? Let that be a parental thing, because if you just write the check, they'll go, yeah, great, and nothing will happen in their heart. And you and I both want to raise kids that are generous and love the gospel of God going out throughout the world. This is a moment for you parents right here. This is parenting to be able to go forward on that. So let your kids do their own thing and talk about it, and then you as a family, you give your part, and then let them give their part. We're going to walk down here. We're going to lay it on the platform at all campuses, and so let them walk down with their own gift. and lay it on the platform and feel the victory of being a part of giving, no matter what it is. And then number three, people always ask, well, how do I know? I don't know. Here's what I would say. Number three, pray and ask the Lord to lay a number on your heart of what God wants you to give. And then just don't have fear. Just go for it. Let me give you just a couple things. Just maybe this gives you a little bit of a framework. I'll show you up here on the screen. How much does it cost to support a missionary? Again, all this money's going out of the church to missionaries and such. $61,000 a year, $5,000 a month, basically, round numbers. $1,100 a week, $170 a day. Look at those numbers. Which one of those can you do? You can do it in between. I'm not telling you a number, but I mean, is there something you go, I can do $170. Yeah, sure. No, hey, $1,000, that's not, we can do that. Five, whatever it is. And to just let God speak to you. That's just giving you a framework of whatever you want to do so that we remember God in the midst of our financial fear. And here's what happens. Whenever you're a giver, your financial fears go down. It's the weirdest thing. It's called faith. It's crazy. 6 days is better than working 7 days. 90% spends further than 100%. It's crazy how God works this out. So let's remember God in our fear. Number three out of four, we're going to move along quick. Recognize the different types of fear. Recognize the different types of fear. Here's what happens in this. Verse 20, Moses responded to the people. Our first point was respond to the fear. Number two was, don't be afraid, or in the next part of the scripture, don't be afraid, for God has come to test you. So remember God in the fear. He's testing you. He's growing your faith. Why? So you will fear him and will not sin. I'm going to hit three and four pretty quick here. The third one is this, recognize the different types of fear. Recognize the different types of fear. I'm going to give you two types, okay? One of them's good, one of them's bad. Two different types of fear, write them down in your notes, are this, troubling fear and comforting fear. Troubling fear and comforting fear. Troubling fear is the fear that we feel when our body kind of like, I didn't know this relationship was going to go like this. I didn't know this meeting was going to go like this. Oh my goodness, I didn't know the money was going to go down on the stock. I didn't, whatever it is, it's a troubling fear. Those are valid. Invite God into that and pass the test. Adversity is a university, and trust him in faith and walk in truth. That's troubling fear. Troubling fear, Corey Ten Boom puts it like this. Worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. Worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. That's troubling fear. Number two is a comforting fear. Wow, that seems like an oxymoron. But didn't Moses just do that? It says, Moses said, do not be afraid, for the Lord, for God is with you to test you. Fear God. Did you see those two things? Now, is he contradicting himself? Don't be afraid so that you will fear him. What does it mean to fear God? Here's what it means to fear God. Reverence and awe. So now you hear the word cancer, and that's not the big place of fear. The reverent and awe fear of God, you're sovereign and you're great. You know every day of my life before I live one. That can trump this fear here. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen financially in my life. I mean, my business, my this, my that, and the other. God is the provider, and so I'm going to have a fear of him, and that's going to trump this other fear here. Do you see what's happening? We're inviting God into our fear, and we're saying, Lord, I want my reverent awe fear of God to be greater than any other fear. That kind of fear promotes and demonstrates an attitude of complete trust and belief in God. Here's what it's like. Remember in the scriptures where John put his head on Jesus' chest? You remember that scripture? It says that the disciple whom he loved, he put his head on his breast. So John's got his head on the breast of Jesus, on the chest of Jesus. Here's how it's going to work in our lives. Your problems are either going to be on your right ear, pushing your left ear into Jesus, or your problems are going to be on your left ear, pushing you away from the heart of Jesus. Here's what we want. The comforting fear is this. Let your problems and the things you're afraid of push you in to the chest of Jesus. Why? So now you can hear the heartbeat of God. And when you hear the heartbeat of God in the midst of your fear, now I'm comforted. And that leads to the fourth thing and final, that we will not sin. That we will not sin. Does that mean you're going to leave this place, church, today and you're never going to sin again? No way. Of course you're going to sin again. It's part of the human experience. But it means this, you're not going to want that like you wanted it before. because you're going to realize the greatness and the value of God and the reverent fear of Him is going to make you go, why would I lie when He's the way, the truth, and the life? Why would I commit adultery when the church is the bride of Christ? Why would I covet when He owns a cattle on a thousand hills? Why would I have murderous thoughts of evil, ill intent towards somebody when I know that person has been created in the image of God? Why would I have all of those things of, why would I disrespect my Father on earth when I've got such respect for my Father in heaven? Why would I have an idol before Him of money or fame or praise when I've got the real thing of the real God in heaven? Why would I ever take His name in vain? No way am I doing that. That's my Savior. And I love Him more than anything. And that then results in we will not sin. Jesus passed the test, didn't He, of keeping the Ten Commandments. Jesus lives in our heart through salvation in Christ so that we can walk in the power and the strength of Christ. Let me close with this last thing. I want you to look at that last little prayer. That's where you're going to fill out some point today, tomorrow, right now, in this moment. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Is it health, finances, people's approval? Today, I'm responding to the fear of blank. That's what it says there. That's the fill in that blank. You fill that out. Thousands of different blanks filled out. And then you make that your prayer this week. Today, I'm responding to the fear of people's approval. Let's just put that one in there. I commit to remember God by calling out to Him in prayer and by spending time reading His word. Though all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we're going to sin, right? I want my fear to nudge me closer to God, not farther from Him. Father, grant me Spirit-led courage to do this for Your glory and for my maturity, spiritual maturity. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Invite God into your fear and allow it to then be a fear of God instead of fear of all these other things, which are very valid. But let's take it and let's grow our faith and move forward and press deeper into His chest and hear His heartbeat. Last illustration, and we're done. Little boy went over to a friend's house, and the friend's parents, they had a German Shepherd, big old dog, German Shepherd. And that little boy was on the height that the German Shepherd came to him, and they were looking eye to eye. This little boy and this German Shepherd, picture that if you will. And the little boy began to pet the German Shepherd, and the German Shepherd began to become a caretaker of the little boy. And there was a connection between this big dog with these big teeth and this little boy that's sitting here with little teeth and being able to have this connection of love. And then the little boy wanted to go get a toy that was in the other room. And so he turned and he began to run off from the dog, and it all ends well, don't worry. The dog growled as the little boy began to go off away from the dog. And the owner of the dog said, little boy, son, stop right there. Do you hear him growling? He says, yes. He said, he doesn't want you to run away from him. He wants you to take him with you. And then the little boy and the little dog go in the other room to get his toy. Let me tell you what, God's not growling at you in anger. God's not waiting to attack you and pounce on you. God just wants you to go with Him and Him to go with you everywhere you go. And let me tell you what, when that little boy's got that German Shepherd next to him, there ain't nothing to fear for that little boy, is there? And when you and I go where God wants us to go, not my will, but yours be done, and Jesus goes with us and we go with Him, you've got nothing to fear. He's greater than any dog on earth or any protective we could have. Does that mean we're never going to get afraid? Does it never mean we're going to not have bad days? No, you're going to have bad days. You're going to get afraid. But you let God be a part of that and trust Jesus to see you through and let adversity be your university to be able to walk out your life with Him. And you'll grow in Christ and you'll hear the heartbeat of God. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank You, Lord, that Your word says, You have not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of love, power, and self-discipline. Mark Batterson says, the only God-ordained fear is the fear of God. And if we fear God, then we don't have to fear anyone or anyone else, anything or anyone else. So we come, God, and we praise You, Lord. We don't have to be afraid to have intimacy emotionally. We don't have to have fear of our relationships. We don't have to fear in our finances or our mental or our social or relational or spiritual. We can trust you. We thank you, God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.